The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Wednesday, February 24th, 2021. The time is 9:01 a.m. We're meeting in the State Capitol Room, number 205. In attendance are Senator Stevens, Senator Hughes, Senator Machicki, Senator Begich, and myself, Senator Holland. And as a reminder, please silence your cell phones. Today, we will be hearing from the governor's appointees to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission and the Board of Regents. Our first appointee to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission is Lem, is it Wheels or Wheeles? Mr. Wheels, are you out there?
Yes, it's Wheeles. Thank you.
Mr. Wheeles, if you'd please state your name and affiliation for the record, then offer a brief introduction about your personal background and why you're interested in serving.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Lem Wheeles, and I'm honored to have been nominated by Governor Dunleavy to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. I'll begin my comments by providing a little background on myself, and then I'll address the PTPC and teacher certification more specifically. I was born and raised in Anchorage, where I attended public schools and ultimately graduated from A.J. Diamond High School. I earned a BA in political science with minors in communication and sociology, as well as a Master of Arts in Teaching from UAA. After completing school, I got my dream job, teaching at Diamond High School. I've taught social studies at Diamond for my entire 17-year teaching career. I've taught world history, U.S. history, Alaska studies, AP comparative government, and currently I'm teaching AP United States government, AP United States history, U.S. government, and student government. I've also taught online U.S. history and U.S. government courses for the ASD iSchool program for a decade. In addition to teaching full-time, I've spent the last 11 months supporting the Anchorage School District in transitioning to online learning and teaching or training teachers to use Canvas, our online learning system. I was recognized as the 2018 Alaska History Teacher of the Year. I had previously been recognized by BP as a Teacher of Excellence, by the Alaska World Affairs Council as their Teacher of the Year, and twice by the Model United Nations of Alaska as Advisor of the Year. In addition to the courses that I teach, I provide opportunities for students to develop their interests and leadership skills as the sponsor of Model United Nations Club and Christian Club. I've been the Student Government Advisor for 11 years, and under my leadership, Diamond Student Government has been awarded the National Gold Council of Excellence Award and is the only school in the state to currently hold this top national distinction. In addition to my work with students, I have served on numerous committees and task forces for the Anchorage School District, as the elections chair for the Anchorage Education Association, and as the parliamentarian for the NEA Alaska Delegate Assembly. Over the past 2 years, I've served as a subject matter expert for the U.S. Census Bureau's Statistics in Schools program, and I'm currently a Statistics in Schools ambassador, helping to promote the census to educators and students through appearances on national podcasts and by speaking with local and national media. On a personal note, I've been married for 19 years to my high school sweetheart, Lindsay, and we have two daughters, Cicely, who's 15 and a sophomore at Diamond High, and Ella, who is 12 and in 7th grade at Mears Middle School. I'm a leader at Mountain Coast Vineyard Church. I love to play softball every summer, and I enjoy camping throughout Alaska every summer with my family. Now that you know about me, let me share some thoughts about education issues and why I'm excited for the opportunity to serve on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. My mission as an educator is to inspire all of my students to be engaged citizens. I empower my students to be politically active by teaching them about their government and its history, and by providing them with opportunities to engage with their government. I have hosted a sitting governor, members of Congress, members of the Alaska Legislature, U.S. ambassadors, and foreign consuls in my classroom. My students have taken what they have learned and applied it as campaign volunteers, legislative and congressional staffers, delegates to United Nations conferences, and candidates for public office. My ultimate objective is to challenge my students to not just learn about their government, but to be an active part of it. Being a government teacher, I'm often asked about my political views. When my students ask, I tell them that I don't share my views with students because it would be unethical for me to do so and potentially sway their views. Similarly, I tell them that I don't care what their political views are, but I care that they form political views and that they can articulate why they believe what they believe. I teach my students about a variety of political beliefs and ideologies so they can form an educated opinion and engage in civic discourse with each other. Mr. Chairman, the members of your committee come from different political parties and have a variety of political beliefs, and yet you all meet regularly, respect one another, and engage in thoughtful discourse with the end goal of doing what is best for our great state. My goal as a government teacher is to prepare my students for those conversations, whether in their homes, on social media, in their workplaces, or for some of them, someday, in our state capitol. My goal as a teacher leader and member of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission is to hold my colleagues to these highest standards as well. As a recess appointee to the commission, I've had the pleasure of serving during the last few meetings of the PTPC. During my time on the commission, I've advocated for reminders in the PTPC newsletter to educators about appropriate ways to deal with politics in the classroom. I've also advised colleagues on numerous occasions about the proper way to deal with such subjects. In addition, I've advised many students and a few parents on how to approach situations where they feel a teacher has crossed the line and pushed a particular political view. My goal is to be proactive and address these issues before they rise to the level of a complaint before the PTPC. But if they reach that level, then I'm prepared to react appropriately. As a quasi-judicial body, the PTPC is asked to adjudicate complaints against certificated educators, including teachers, counselors, principals, and even superintendents. This is a role I do not take lightly. I appreciate that the legislature saw fit to create the PTPC over 50 years ago so that educators could hold their colleagues accountable, but also so they can be judged by a jury of their peers. When I teach about the importance of jury duty, I tell my students that if you're smart, you might be able to talk your way out of getting put on a jury. I then challenge them with this thought. If you're ever accused of a crime, and I hope it's falsely accused, would you want your jury to be made up of only the people who are left after all the smart people talk their way out of it? If I were ever the subject of a complaint to the PTPC, I would want to be judged by my peers, who have a good grasp of what it means to be an educator in 2021. The PTPC is made up of 5 teachers, a principal, a superintendent, a representative from higher education, and a representative from DEED. This is a group of educational professionals who understand the challenges of being an educator and who want public education to be esteemed throughout Alaska. As a body, the PTPC works to promote professional and ethical behavior by all Alaskan educators through proactive education and outreach and by responding to complaints when a violation has occurred. The pandemic has created a number of new situations that pose potential ethical dilemmas for educators. Widespread virtual learning blurs the lines between school and home, and educators have been called on to engage in much more electronic communication with students and families. District protocols surrounding health and safety present educators with difficult choices about continuing to teach, taking leave, or resigning. We must ensure that all educators are informed on the Professional Teaching Code of Ethics and the potential consequences for violations of it. As a member of the PTPC, I will work to increase our education and outreach efforts to ensure that all educators are familiar with the Code of Ethics and understand what it means for their professional practice, especially in these unprecedented times. As a lifelong Alaskan and a career educator with connections throughout our state, I am an ideal nominee for the PTPC. I'm well informed on current education issues in our state, and I'm well respected by educators throughout Alaska. Mr. Chairman, thank you once again for the opportunity to address the committee today, and I stand ready to answer any questions you may have for me.
Thank you, Mr. Wheelis, for your comments. If this is written testimony, would you be able please submit that to the committee if this is being read? Are there any questions from the committee? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and congratulations, Lim, on being an outstanding teacher, being recognized throughout your career, and that's very impressive. And I particularly am impressed with your civics education, the way you approach your students and try to help them become citizens and voters and a part of our political process. But, and I'm sure you're doing a great job at it, but we are falling down as a nation, I think, in helping to create citizens among our students. What do we do about that? How do we do that? Do we have to have separate classes on civics, or is that embedded into the curriculum that you teach?
Well, through the chair, Senator Stevens, I would say that certainly civics education is important, and I think Senator Stevens, we've even spoken a number of times on such topics. For the most part, I think it's embedded in the curriculum that's offered, at least in the Anchorage School District, and I think throughout our state, there is a government requirement for graduation in Alaska, and so I think that covers some of it. Part of it as well is making sure that we are attracting quality educators and ensuring that we have good teacher education programs that support and instill these values. and teach teachers how to teach these important lessons, while also giving them the ability and the freedom to teach in a way that really encourages students to explore and take advantage of opportunities to engage in civic activity.
Thank you, Lim. I wish we had more teachers like you. You're doing a great job. Thanks.
And a question from Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wheelis, it's good to hear you again. I know you were before us before last year, and of course we were never able to formalize our process. We have some new members on the committee, and I asked you a question last year, and I want to ask that question again. Just to confirm, you were nominated for this appointment by either a recognized Alaska teachers organization or by more than 25 teachers who have no affiliation with an organization. Is that correct?
Through the chair, yes, that is correct. I was nominated for this by NEA Alaska.
Okay. I just wanted to remind the committee that there are requirements for each of these positions, and Mr. Wheelis meets at least meets the requirement for the teacher position and gave an outstanding presentation. The second question, Mr. Chairman, is, Mr. Wheelis, recently the court ruled that appointees that were made by the governor, even the recess appointees, were essentially no longer empowered to hold their positions between the dates of roughly December 15th and January 19th. Did you conduct any activities as a acting member of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission during that time period that would potentially be subject to litigation because of that decision by the court?
Through the chair, to Senator Begich, no, the Professional Teaching Practices Commission did not meet during that time. We meet three times a year, typically in October, January, and April. Our January meeting was right at the end of January on, I believe it was January 28 and 29, and there were no interim activities that would be subject to that judicial order, as best as I can determine.
Thank you, Mr. Wheelis. I look forward to supporting your nomination.
With no other questions from the committee, Mr. Wheelis, thank you for your presentation. A little bit of bookkeeping business here. I may have been neglectful in thanking our recording secretary, Jeannie, and our moderator, Carson, in the interim. I just wanted to mention that. Our second appointee to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission is Mr. Adam Reed. Mr. Reed, are you out there?
Yes, I am here.
Mr. Reed, would you please state your name and affiliation for the record, and then offer a brief introduction about your personal background and why you're interested in serving?
Chairman Holland and members of the Senate Education Committee, for the record, my name is Adam Reed. I live and teach in Anchorage. I have been teaching at the King Tech High School, formerly the King Career Center, for the past 20 years. I like to tell people that I grew up in the prison system in Iowa. As always, it gets their attention. My father was the director of security, and my mother was a teacher within the prison. I graduated from a rural high school in Iowa and continued my education and basketball career at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. After redshirting and playing for 3 years, in 1997, I graduated with a degree in environmental sciences. With my degree in hand and 1 year of eligibility, I got the opportunity to continue my studies and basketball career at the University of Alaska, Anchorage. A few days after graduation, five of us college friends loaded up in two cars and headed north. And as many have, I fell in love with Alaska, and my wife and I have raised our three children here. My three kids were all in the Anchorage School District. I have a 2020 Diamond High School grad, a 10th grader at Diamond, and a 7th grader at Mears Middle School. I bring a background of service to the board. I have served within my school as a department chair, part of our advanced ed leadership team as we transitioned from a program to a fully accredited high school, as a building leader of one of our Capturing Kids' Hearts process champions, and part of our literacy team helping my CTE colleagues implement literacy strategies in their CTE curriculum. Currently, I serve on three nonprofit boards relating to youth sports in Anchorage and statewide. The experience in working with a variety of people and situations in all of those settings has prepared me to not only work with the other commissioners, but also to look at each case presented to us in an impartial way and ask questions and thoroughly review each on its own merits and see that all the participants are given due process. In serving on the PTPC, I hope to continue to serve the people of the state and the teaching profession. It is imperative that we provide our students with professional educators and an outlet for Alaskans to participate in the process of protecting our students' rights to the best education. It is with that guidance that I wish to serve on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. I thank you for your time and consideration for the position on the PTPC. Thank you.
Mr. Reed, thank you for your comments. I see a question from Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Reed, I have to ask you the same question that I asked Mr. Wheelis. Were you nominated for this appointment by a recognized Alaska Teachers Organization or by more than 25 teachers who have no affiliation with any organization qualified to submit nomination lists?
Through the chair, yes, I was nominated by NEA Alaska.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Reed.
A question or comment from Senator Stevens?
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Reed. Unusual times we're in where districts are being having trouble finding teachers and actually under emergency orders under the declaration of disaster are now hiring teachers who are uncertificated. Do you have any reflection on that and what that means and what the implications might be to that?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, yes, I mean, that's been a discussion for quite a few years now. As part of teacher retention and recruiting and attracting the best, you know, a lot of it always comes down to money, unfortunately, but it does, and Alaska is not as competitive as it used to be. From a state point, I'm tier two. I would look at the retirement system that our current tier three and below employees have to help keep them here. I think looking at that will give a little incentive for teachers to stay within our borders. You know, I was thinking about that as well, and part of our education and what we're doing here at King Tech is, you know, we have partnerships with the Lower Yukon School District, and we bring students in here to experience what we can offer. And I see potential for statewide programs where we can share not only through the technology that we're all so familiar with now through COVID and distance learning, but ways where we can bring our large state and make it smaller and provide more opportunities, not only for students, but I think there's potentials for teachers to experience that type of education as well, where they might be able to do some exchange programs and get exposed to rural areas and different areas of the state and maybe open up some doors there for teachers and students.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. With no other questions before the committee, thank you for your presentation. Our third appointee to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission is Jamie Burgess. Jamie Burgess, are you available online?
Yes, sir. It's Jamie Burgess.
Would you please state your name and affiliation for the record, then offer a brief introduction about your personal background and why you're interested in serving?
Thank you. My name is Jamie Burgess, Superintendent for Nome Public Schools. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. I've been nominated to fill the superintendent's seat on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission by Governor Dunleavy and the Alaska Council of School Administrators, and I'm truly grateful for this opportunity to serve. I'm currently serving as a superintendent for Nome Public Schools and was previously the Director of Federal Programs and Instruction in the same district, as well as Curriculum Director for the Upiat School District. I hold a master's degree in biochemistry, biophysics, and genetics from the University of Colorado and a master's in education in curriculum and instruction from Concordia University. Originally born in East LA, I have lived in California, Colorado, Montana, and Arizona, and now Alaska. This is my 18th year in education, including 10 years in the classroom as a high school chemistry teacher, speech and debates coach, and National Honor Society sponsored, followed by 2 years as an alternative high school principal and launched virtual learning in my high school-only district of 7,000 students in the West Valley of Phoenix. Prior to beginning my career in education, I worked in the finance area of oil and gas, working for a variety of small independent oil and gas producers in the Denver area. I bring to the board a broad background in education combined with a passion for ensuring that teachers are held to the highest ethical standards, as all Alaska students deserve for school to be a safe place with teachers who model positive relationships. I pride myself on building relationships, starting with strong positive student relationships, collegial relationships with my administrative team members and community partners, and networking with my fellow superintendents across Alaska. While my tenure in Alaska has been relatively short, I have come to love my adopted state and want to work wherever there is a need to make our educational system the best it can be. I am always interested in opportunities to be of service to the educational community and believe serving on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission is more than simply passing judgment on the actions of teachers and administrators, but also offers insight to how superintendents can better train and support the ethical practices of educational practitioners within their respective districts. I take the responsibility of ensuring ethical practices very seriously and want to work with my fellow superintendents to ensure professional development and training for both teachers and principals to address ethical issues before they arise to the level of a complaint before the PDPC. My personal goals for the education system in Alaska are to serve as a voice for the children in my community and to ensure that every child in the school districts where I serve, as well as in every corner of our state, have access to high-quality, effective teachers, research-based teaching practices, safe and culturally responsive classrooms, and to be well-prepared when they leave our public school system for their chosen path afterwards, whether that be post-secondary schooling, joining the workforce, or a career in one of the branches of the United States military. While that is a vision I will work tirelessly towards, I will advocate specifically for well-funded schools that are financially efficient, increased access of students, schools, and communities to affordable, high-bandwidth internet, and universal pre-K to prepare students for kindergarten and support the goal of all students reading at grade level by third grade. Thank you for your time, and I am happy to answer any questions from the chair or committee members.
Thank you, Ms. Burgess, for your presentation. A question from Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So good to hear you, Superintendent Burgess. Hear your comments. Two things very quickly, Mr. Chairman. I just need to put on the record that while Superintendent Burgess was working in the Upiat School District, I was under contract to the Upiat School District. So for whatever conflict that may entail, I want to put that on the record. And then secondarily, Superintendent Burgess, I just wanted to commend you for the work you've done at the Nome School District and all the work that you're doing for kids across the state through your professional affiliations. And thank you for volunteering your time and stepping up to take on this important role. That's very much appreciated.
Thank you, Senator Begich. A question from Senator Machicki.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Burgess. I was interested in two pieces of your extensive resume. One was your work in 2011 through 15 on growing a summer school program. And the reason I was interested is you added programs for reading and gifted talented, but I'm more kind of concerned about the reading in regard to the challenges we have on being right around number 50 of 50 states in this state. Do you see opportunities with your experience there and with your online learning program work in 13 through 15? How can that translate into improvements on standards and progress in Alaska?
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Machicki, for the opportunity to respond. I believe that when it comes to addressing the challenges of students learning to read, I think that a comprehensive program is very important. I think that it starts with good early learning preparation. We obviously trying to prevent is always better than trying to correct. So starting at that point and trying to do the best that we can to address our children, provide the best possible early learning opportunities so that they are reading by on grade level by third grade, I think that is a combination of high-quality pre-K and ensuring that all of our early education, early elementary teachers have developed strong expertise in teaching students to read. When it comes to addressing as children get older, if we do have children that continue to struggle, I believe that finding research-based effective practices are important. The summer school program that I worked with actually used a very effective middle school program called Read 180. It's the same program that we utilize here in my school district now. And with the well-trained teachers in that particular program, we have seen very good success in closing some of the learning gaps. When it comes to virtual learning, I believe that virtual learning has a place in our educational system. I do not see it as in any way, shape, or form as a complete replacement. It does not replace that strong interaction between students and teachers. However, for many students, it is offers an alternative opportunity for learning that can be very successful for some students. However, in order to make sure that all students have the opportunity to access virtual online learning, if that is what modality of learning works best for them, we do have to address the access inequity across our state for high-quality bandwidth. I'm from a community where having unlimited bandwidth will cost anywhere between $350 to $400 a month, where I pay $100 a month for the exact same or faster level of access from a home I have in Wasilla for $99 a month. So I think that those are two things that would need to be addressed in order to address our the same. I think we all want the same thing, which is for our students to achieve much better. So I think that there's a couple of things that we need to work at. That's the superintendents in partnership with the legislature.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Burgess. A question or comment from Senator Stevens?
Well, thank you, Senator Burgess, and I appreciate your arriving in Alaska 2015, it looks like, and you're staying here and contributing to our students. My question has to do with the commission itself, the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. What is the end result of that commission? Say you have a teacher or somebody who has demonstrated unethical behavior and is guilty, and the decision is made to what decision is made? Does this Professional Teaching Practices Commission, do they like recommend that person be dismissed? Can they take away their certification? Just tell me the end result of a worst case.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens. So the PTPC has a variety of sanctions that we can place against an educator certificate. At the very lowest level, we place what is called a warning. That is something that we feel that circumstance that arose that gave rise to the complaint isn't quite egregious enough to warrant stronger sanctions. However, we do want to formally warn that individual about their behavior. We can also suspend a certificate for a defined period of time. Typically, that's a year. We can actually revoke a certificate. In many cases, that revocation is often for life, and that individual then is no longer able to teach within the state of Alaska. We also do report any of these types of actions against an educator certificate to a national clearinghouse as well, and that should require any individuals that have any of that type of sanction against their certificate, they should be reporting that to any employer if they leave the state and seek employment and education elsewhere. So that really does have some fairly long-lasting implications for us to take that type of an action. And as a result, you know, those of us that are members of the PTPC take it very, very seriously. And, you know, we talk long and hard about the particulars of each individual case that comes before us before making a decision to take such an action, because we do know that it has very long-lasting implications for that individual as far as their employment. However, when it comes to keeping our students safe, if we feel that what's come before us means that that individual should no longer be in classrooms in front of or interacting with children or other staff members within the Alaska education system, I don't think that we hesitate to carry out our duty. Thank you.
Thank you for explaining that.
Thank you, Ms. Burgess. Any more questions from the committee? Seeing none, I'll thank the three appointees to the PTPC appearing before the committee this morning. As a request to all appointees presenting today, if your presentation is available as written testimony, please provide it to the committee. Now we will move on to the University of Alaska Board of Regents appointees. First up is Dale Anderson. Dale Anderson, are you online?
I am.
Would you please state your name and affiliation for the record, then offer a brief introduction about your personal background and why you're interested in serving?
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Holland. I appreciate the opportunity to meet with you and the Senate Education Committee members today. My name is Dale Anderson. I'm from Juneau, and I am before you today seeking your approval of Governor Dettelieve's choice to reappoint me to another term to serve on the University of Alaska's Board of Regents. It is my understanding that you have been provided a copy of my resume, so in an effort to make the best use of everyone's time, I'll summarize my personal information and background and be happy to answer any additional questions that you may have. I've lived in our great state close to 70 years, the majority of them here in Juneau, and I've served on the Board of Regents for the past 9 years and have enjoyed every moment in my quest to give back my time and my efforts to further the success of our university system. In my resume, you can see that I'm a private sector entrepreneur at heart, having owned 9 different successful businesses, but I've also served in the public sector as a commissioner of the Commercial Fisheries Education Commission and assemblyman for the city and borough of Juneau, and as a legislative assistant and House Finance Committee aide. My current career is working in the financial services industry at Merrill Lynch here in Juneau. It would have been easy for me to retire from the board and say I've put in my time, but when discussing it with my wife and listening to the pros and cons of asking the governor for the opportunity of serving an additional term, we both came to the same conclusion. There is a real need at this time for consistency in leadership and ideas to ensure in coming years our institution to be on the most successful track will be led by strategists who know how to maintain flexibility and continuity and can envision and prepare for the ever-changing future. The world in front of us is nothing like the world behind us. The challenge to this board is to ensure the institution is positioned to remain competitive in a demanding, ever-shifting, and uncertain environment. We need members who can ask challenging, relevant, and fair questions, avoid dysfunctional politeness, and deal with facts and data, and all the time really appreciate the complexities of running an educational institution. I feel my job is not finished yet. There are projects and works I've been involved in that are not yet completed. I want to carry on the tasks and ideas to finish those items. There are many major decisions to be made to set the path to follow toward a more efficient educational institution, more focused and specializing in academic and workforce areas of expertise, enhancing specialized courses unique to our university system, stretching from Ketchikan to Kotzebue and found in the far north and Arctic regions. This is a difficult time within our university and within our state, as academic needs, wants, and delivery strategies change. We must change with them and understand that we are committed to a long-term strategy and looking to the future. We are not in a downward spiral, as many have said. We will come out of this tunnel stronger, leaner, and more focused to produce the university system we can all be proud of as serving all of Alaskans. Thank you for the time that I've had to give this opening statement. I'm happy to take on any questions that the committee would have. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation, Mr. Seekins. I see a question from Senator Begich.
Regent Anderson, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
A couple of quick questions for you that will lead to probably lengthy answers. The first is, you've mentioned unfinished projects. that need to be completed, and it just leads me to the broader question of what are those uncompleted projects, unfinished projects, and how do they really how do they fit your vision of UAA's role in the education continuum? And then secondarily, the governor and the Board of Regents made an agreement that has severely cut the university's budget. I'm curious as to you were on the board at the time. What is your opinion of that agreement? So your vision tied to those unfinished projects for the university and your position on the governor and the board's agreement on the significant cuts to the university's budget. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I'll answer the third question first, if that's okay. Going back to the agreement that we've had with the governor to cut the budget, it's made it difficult. I mean, there have been many, many choices made in the last 2 years that have been difficult to make because we're cutting jobs, we're cutting positions, we're cutting programs. But in reality, what I had to take on as my personal view of this is that we are not about cutting jobs. We're not about cutting positions. I'm really looking forward to saving jobs and programs for the University of Alaska in the future by reallocating these resources. I personally feel that this whole move of our cutting back is going to give us this stronger, leaner, and more focused university, and we will be able to have a more efficient university in the future. So I am not totally opposed to the idea of slimming down and becoming more focused at what we do best. So it's been my position, Senator Begich, that we're doing the best we can with what we have and learning to live within our means. Some of the projects that I have been working on and at the top of my list would be to strengthen the School of Education and the administration in that school. The College of Education was placed at the University of Alaska Southeast because of their history of good work in the past. And what we need, we did have a setback in Anchorage as far as loss of licensure programs there, but we still have, even at UAA, a very strong core of courses at UAS, UAA, and UAF that are working in a very strong collaborative effort right now to really put a strong foundation under the school of or the College of Education. Our goal, I think there was a question asked earlier by Senator Stevens about the lack of teachers and that it's always a big effort to do recruiting. But what we are really concentrating is on the challenge to bring opportunity and a quality education to Alaskans in the teaching industry with the goal that positions those graduates in Alaska schools, both in rural areas and in urban areas. And so that's a really big goal that we have in front of us. We just really want to advance that goal to prepare teachers to take positions within our state. When we teach our own in this in this environment we are here. In Alaska, it is a different environment of teaching because a lot, especially in the rural areas where there's isolation, when we bring up somebody from down south, they're probably good for 2, maybe 3 years, but then they move on. And it's a goal of ours to look at students that get an education here in Alaska, you know, to stay in Alaska. Another pet project of mine is in fisheries, and I really want to see the fisheries program expanded at the University of Alaska Southeast. There's a program going on now between UAF and UAS, and I just want to strengthen that productive relationship and expand the undergraduate work that we do here at UAS. There's been a piece of property donated to University of Alaska Southeast here in Juneau, where the NOAA facility used to reside, and we have just an incredible spot to build what I see in the future as a oceanography fisheries campus. And so that is something that I would really like to put our eyes on and have that goal. And another one, this is a far-reaching thing, but it is looking to the future. I would really like to develop a maritime academy for the North Pacific in Alaska to train for the opening of the Northwest Passage. The Northwest Passage is going to be opened, and Alaska needs to have a part in that. And so if the nearest Maritime Academy is in San Francisco, but if we could focus on an idea about building this Maritime Academy in the North Pacific, that's another project that I would like to see. So my pet projects are education and fisheries, oceanography, but we have some just big choices to make here in the next couple of years. And we're looking at choosing the top administrative positions for the university, all the way from chancellors to the president. And so that's an area that I'd really like to be involved in as well. You're right, it was a question.
Yes, that was a superb answer. Thank you, Regent Anderson. That very much answered my questions. Thank you.
A question from Senator Machicki.
Yeah, thank you, Regent Anderson. My take as a graduate and someone who's been watching in the last couple of years some painful decisions being made, just wonder if it's too late. I think the legislature had its hand in, I have to say, somewhat a parochial approach on expanding campuses in their own communities. That wasn't a university choice. That was a legislative choice years ago. And we have redundant programs that are in several campuses. So is it too late to reorganize to the point of where we can focus programs in one place instead of having redundant programs while we reorganize so that we can bring down cost yet offer an excellent education in those areas? I think about engineering and education, and you talked a little bit about fisheries. Can we pull back and deliver a better quality education while bringing down cost, or do you think that die has been cast and it would be very difficult to retreat to something that makes a lot more sense as far as locations and focus programs?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, it is not too late. And we are on that track. We you know, we have cut programs, we have consolidated programs, we have done a very, very extensive research into what we have and how we can do it better. And I want to underline this thing, we're not too late. And the redundancy of programs is one of the areas that we have been working very, very hard on, and putting those, especially with the online learning now, it can be in one of our three universities. It doesn't matter where they are producing the programs because it's online. There's just been a real strong new effort by the three chancellors that we have right now to work together to streamline what we had in the past. I hate to kind of use the word, we want to get smaller, but we want to be leaner, I guess is another term. We want to be more focused in what we do best. We don't have the luxury now of or the budget to attempt to be all things to all people. And that's where we found ourselves probably five, six years ago. And we started back then and have gradually come into this cutback or focus. And it's been a real tough decision, especially under the compact we had with the governor, because we had absolute specific cutback dollars that we had to live within. I think we've done an excellent job of coming together, collaborating, and reducing you are very correct about redundancy is one of the main factors that we always look at. So I think we're on the right track, Senator, and I believe that this is one of the things that I'm not, one of the projects that I'm not done with, you know, and so it's because I know we can get there. I know that we can be that stronger, leaner institution in the end, much more focused in our drive and doing the things that we do best, taking the classes and things that curriculum that we produce to make our university unique, and making those things acceptable and to the people who want to have those kind of courses, they would automatically come to University of Alaska. So I believe we're on the right track. I definitely do not feel it's too late, but I want to finish the job. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Anderson. A question from Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Dale. I've known you for many years and appreciate your service on the board as a regent. I guess I need to go back a few years to specifically to the loss of accreditation. You have talked about the importance of education, but we did lose accreditation for our education program, training teachers in Anchorage. That was a shock to the legislature. I'm sure it was a shock to the board. It just doesn't happen. Universities do not lose accreditation because, and having been through the accreditation process myself, I know how it works. You know, the accreditation board visits, they let you know what needs to be done. They're not trying to cause you to lose accreditation. They're trying to help you retain accreditation. So there should have been lots of warnings that accreditation was in danger. It just appears to me, and no reflection on you, but it seems to me that the administration and even the board of directors were sort of asleep at the switch for this to have happened. How can you assure us that that's not going to happen again? I mean, are there other instances where we may lose accreditation in the future? Can you tell us that? And then can you tell us how, as the Board of Regents, you can make sure that you you prepare for the potential loss of accreditation and react to the board's visit and know what's going on. It doesn't seem to me that anyone knew very much that accreditation was going to be lost, and that is really a black eye I think the university has that you will always have until that's straightened out.
Through the chair. Senator Stevens, it is a black eye. There was a failure of communication between not only the faculty and administration at UAA, there was a lack of severe lack of communication between them and the accreditors. You are correct. It was a gut-wrenching shock to hear at our meeting. I have to congratulate and thank the administration and the faculty at UAF and UAS for really taking up the slack that was caused by the loss of accreditation. No classes were lost. People had to do some online rather than in person. But we have instituted many more checkpoints that we are noticed much more as far as the process going through accreditation now than we were before. We have excellent examples of UAF and UAS gaining accreditation since that happened. And the faculty has really stepped up to the plate there as far as preparing their story to the accreditors. We're also working on getting that reestablished at UAA, but it's going to take a couple of years to get there. That's just the process time that it takes to reaccredit something that's been lost. But we are on a track to get that back. There's much, interim president Pat Bitney has created a new communication process between administration and the faculty. She's done an incredible job creating trust again. So I think we're on the right track again with that. Like I said, we hope to see that accreditation again at UAA. So we will continue down that road. And I apologize for the fact that we went through this. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but it was just a multitude of errors that led to that. And then the multitude of errors plus lack of communication was the issue.
All right. Thank you, Regent Anderson. And a question from Senator Hughes.
Yes. Good morning, Regent Anderson. Thank you for your service thus far and your willingness to continue. This is in follow-up to Senator Michiki's question about and your response about focusing and on fewer programs and doing what we do best and meeting the needs of our state particularly. And I've always thought that I've always been concerned about our ranking overall in the U.S. News and World Report college rankings. There are a few things that sometimes get up there in the rankings, but overall, I think we've been pretty mediocre. And because of that, unless a student's maybe drawn to something that's very unique that we offer, we don't get as many students nationally from other states and globally that many universities across the nation do. And we also lose some of our brightest and best who are looking at these rankings and going outside the state. So my question to you is, if we narrow our focus and do what we do best, do you see potential for us to increase our rankings and therefore begin to draw more students, keep our brightest and best here, and probably also increase the potential for increasing our research dollars coming into the university system?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, great question. And I believe as we get better, more focused, and do the things that we do best, the level of our teaching is going to rise because we're putting our resources into what we do best. And the unique programs that we have here that you will find no place else are those that will be drawing in people from domestic and international areas. It's interesting, we just recently had an enrollment report, and we thought that we would be down significantly, but it has been interesting to see that we have basically maintained what we had before the COVID thing. And it one of the interesting facts that they brought out is that because students are down south or doing things online, we have found that we are attracting students from down in America, down in the lower 48, and internationally, because they're looking online anyway. And our faculty did a phenomenal job of switching from face-to-face class time to the e-learning when this COVID enforced the issue. They were very nimble and they were very quick at putting these programs online. So that has alone has attracted more non-resident students. I found that when we try to be all things to all people, we will be mediocre because we have our span out there way too wide. And by focusing, I believe the quality will be reflected in those ratings. And I'll track that more closely and try to get back to you and see where we are on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Anderson. With no more questions from the committee, thank you for your presentation.
Just kind of a closing comment, if you have time.
Oh, yes, Regent Anderson, if you'd like to make a closing comment.
I just wanted to tell you that you have my commitment to working side by side with the administration, faculty, political, and community leaders to drive long-term sustainable change around economic opportunity and racial equality, all within a balanced budget, living within our means. This is the core of who I am and how I drive responsible growth. I really appreciate your time and consideration and support for my reappointment.
Regent Anderson, thank you for your comments. My new favorite phrase is to accept challenges is to accept the opportunity for the exhilaration of victory. And I appreciate all the positive comments we're getting today about the future of Alaska. Our next appointee to the Board of Regents will be Mr. Ralph Seekins. Mr. Ralph Seekins, are you available online?
I am here, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Seekins, would you please state your name and affiliation for the record, then offer a brief introduction about your personal background and why you're interested in serving?
Well, my name is Ralph Seekins. I am the owner of Seekins Ford Lincoln in Fairbanks, Alaska. And by way of introduction, I know Senator Stevens and I have been acquainted for a long time. I served with him when I was in the Senate, and I was chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And congratulate you, Gary, on staying there as long as you have. So I do appreciate that. Just a little bit of background on me. First of all, I tell you that I'm a husband, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. Been married to my wife for 51 years, 5 months and 18 days, but who's counting? I first met my wife and married her back in 1969. I married her, and I took a temporary job working in a car dealership to get through their nursing school at Seattle Pacific University, and I'm still doing that temporary job 51 years later. My background as an automobile dealer, we started the dealership here in 1977, moved to Alaska in 74. I've been one of the 49 largest Alaska corporations for about 35 years in terms of revenue. We've been recognized by Ford Motor Company and nationwide as a dealership. We were voted in the National Auto Dealer Association and judged by the business school faculty at the University of Michigan as the quality dealer of the year, and out of 20,000 Ford all brand dealerships nationwide. I've been involved in a lot of things at Ford Motor Company, including working with the chairman in the reorganization of Ford Motor Company a while back, Mr. Bill Ford. I was on the National Dealer Council for Ford. I was the chairman of the National Dealer Council. I've also been given an outstanding achievement award from the Automotive Hall of Fame in the business. So I've been around the business a long time. For a while, I owned the dealership in Soldotna, Ford dealership there, and I owned a budget rent-a-car statewide, but that took too much of my time away from my family and my other involvements, and so we sold those. I have been a member of the Ford Dealer Advertising Association, handling about a $25 million advertising budget every year for 6 years. I've done a lot of things in my industry, and other than that, I've got a lot of other interests that I've been involved with on a local, statewide, and national basis. I've been the executive member of the American Quarter Horse Association, 250,000 members, million owners out there, 80 countries. I was 2017, I was the president of that organization. I've been, as I said, I was in the Senate with Senator Stevens, where I chaired the Judiciary Committee, and I was vice chair of a number of other committees as well, and including one where Senator Stevens was the chairman of the University of Alaska Committee at that time. I was vice chairman with him. I guess the thing that I've been involved in the local community from a number of different organizations, but from a university standpoint, all four of our children have gone to the university. My two son-in-laws both were at the university. I have a grandson there. I have a daughter-in-law that was at the university, and I'm one of those people who have encouraged, cheer for, and hope for, and try to do the best we can to develop a strong university in our community. I think it's an absolute requirement for, to have a strong university. I think I don't know if what questions you might have. Like I said, I was I've been consumed in my community for a long time. I was Business Leader of the Year for the University of Alaska in 1990. I've been on a lot of just statewide local committees and appointments. I was on the Board of Trustees for the Permanent Fund Corporation, and I was chair of that. Governor Knowles decided I should leave because I wasn't willing to invest the funds according to his political philosophy. I was trying to invest them for the greatest return for the people of the state of Alaska. I have been on economic advisory committees on North Slope Natural Gas. Been very active in our community, and have told people I'm never going to retire and never going to move out of Alaska, and I don't have a home anyplace else except Fairbanks. So I'm more than willing to answer any questions you have. Hopefully, I think my strongest points. I've been very strong in business organization and reorganization and operating efficiently, and that's what I kind of would be bringing for there. Now, I'm interested in doing this. I was asked if I would consider it, and I thought about it, and I said, you know, one of the things that our family has always been is a strong supporter of our university system. I, for an example, for a while was a guest lecturer and business plan grader and commentator from Dr. Porter up at the business school here in Fairbanks. I've been a supporter of athletic programs at the university. I actually was an unpaid assistant coach under George Roderick for a while with basketball. We support those programs on a continual basis. And if you go to any of the sports events that we have here in the university, you may see me walk in with 8 or 10 additional grandchildren from time to time. This is our university, and I've always been interested in doing what I can to help support it, and I think now I have the opportunity maybe to go in there and try to apply some of my background, some of my strengths to the Board of Regents, hopefully to make a positive contribution towards the university system. I don't know what else you might want to know about me. I'm certainly here to answer any questions you might have. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll look forward to any questions.
Thank you for your presentation. A question from Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. You know, we keep our title, so Senator Seekins, thank you for presenting for us. I have a couple of questions. One is the one I asked Mr. Regent Anderson, which is, I assume you're familiar with the governor's agreement with the Board of Regents that has bypassed the very legislative prerogatives that you exercised when you were here in the body. And I'm curious as to what your opinion is on the governor's and the Board of Regents' agreement that cut the legislature out of the process of determining the budget for the university and the cuts that it entails. And then secondarily, you mentioned business and sports, and I'm just curious what role you see for the arts and humanities in the university system based on the comments that you've made. I have one more after that, but I think there might be other questions, so I'll withhold it until others ask. But those are my two first questions, the governor's agreement and that bypassed the legislature, and then secondarily the role of the arts and humanities in the system. Appreciate your answers.
Senator Seekins?
Through the chairman, Mr. Senator Begich, I'm a fan of the governor, but I probably would have approached the system a little bit differently. I think the way they came out with the agreement on it was over that 3-year span was probably a decent compromise and approach that the governor agreed to. I think, quite frankly, it was a huge target. I guess I probably would have looked at it maybe on a different step down type basis over as a target, but it was a huge target that had to be implemented very quickly, and that's a difficult thing. I have to admire the folks that have gone through that. I know that it was it did a number of things. It created an amount of instability within the organization as far as people looking at their jobs and their future. And I'm sure that it probably attracted a few people to leave and go someplace else where they thought there was a more stable and long-term future for them. I think it was a difficult thing, and I may have done it just a little bit differently, but then again, I guess we all have a different way of looking at it. But it was difficult when you take a look at the percentage-wise cuts that were done there, and how rapidly that had to be done and without any prior warning, say, as I might say. So from a business standpoint, having gone through some of those challenges myself and the ups and downs of the economy and other organizations that I was involved with, we had a similar thing in the American Quarter Horse Association, one of the executive committee and the president there. I think using as much as possible a more phased-in prior warning type system may have been better, but it is what it is. So it's easy to second guess, but my approach may have been, were I governor, which I'm not, and I'm not being critical, I probably would have looked at it a little bit differently, because I think any organization can probably take a look at a 10% cut and find efficiencies. I think every organization I've ever been involved with, including at Ford Motor Company, it expands and there is fat in the system, and then you have to go back occasionally and regularly. In fact, we do it all the time in our small dealership here to see if we have people who are working on projects that aren't essential and where our efficiencies are. But I think almost any organization can look at a 10% reduction on a fairly short-term basis, but man, that was a big chunk, and I have to kind of admire the people who have gone through it, and I've seen their hair get a little grayer over time, but yeah, that is I'm not trying to be critical. I just say I probably would have done it a little bit differently, and I admire them for what they've done in the process, and it's not done, as you know, and we all know. And in that regard, the chairman of the Board of Regents has put me in a position where I would work with audit and finance and facility and land management, which are areas which I think I can contribute in, having my own past experience in how we handle some of that. Does that answer your question, sir?
It does. It didn't address the issue of bypassing the legislature, but that's okay. What the second question was around the role of the arts and humanities in your vision. You've mentioned business,
right,
and sports. And
well, I'm a big supporter of that, quite frankly, too. I'm an amateur photographer. I'm an amateur artist. I have been a longtime supporter of the humanities and of the for example, the summer programs up here that we've done for example in music and art and literature. We've been a big supporter of that, and I think it's a vital thing. I think humanities are important. My own standpoint, you know, I like sports. I was involved in sports. I had an athletic scholarship myself, although I never would have had any kind of chance to go to college probably. But I also think that a balance is very important, and I'm a big supporter of the humanities, the arts. I think that is very important. I think as long as you pull that into the target of providing a good all-around education for students, I think that those things are important. I actually went to a liberal arts college where I probably, for the first time in my young cowboy life, I was introduced more into the arts, and I can still remember. I never would have thought I would have been in a music appreciation class, but I did, and I learned something. And my literature, the literature in my required literature classes, for example, were very enlightening to me and helped me get on a pathway that I have enjoyed for the rest of my life. So I think those are important, and I don't I don't think they're any less important than engineering or business administration or any of the others, quite frankly. I would hope that we don't lose any focus in that over time. Come see me sometime. I'll show you what we do in that regard. It's really an important part of life, I think.
Thank you for your answer. A question from Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Senator Seekins. I appreciate the fact that we had a chance to work together for a few years when you were here. We certainly miss you here in Juneau. Actually, we miss Connie even more, but we still miss you to some extent. I know you. When you were here, you were always a great advocate for Fairbanks. You've done so much in terms of working with Fairbanks on the City of Fairbanks Permanent Fund Board of Trustees and all of your efforts that we're well aware of with Fairbanks. But, of course, the university is much bigger than Fairbanks, and I just want to give you an opportunity to make a comment on that. You know, we have three major campuses. We have many extended sites. We have an enormous online presence. Can you take the bigger view of the university than just the Fairbanks campus?
Well, I agree with that. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I agree with that. I do live in this community. This is my home. It's going to be my home until I die. Most of my focus involvement has been in my own local community. However, I also understand that Alaska is a state, and that we are all really Alaskans, and there is a need for a strong community presence in the communities out there. And I'm not as familiar with UAA except for some of the people that I've known over the years that have been there, but I would agree that that should not become parochial, Gary, Senator Stevens. I should say, we have to understand, just like, I mean, when we worked together in years past, and when I was the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, we didn't just look at those things that were regional in that regard, but for the benefit of the entire state. And I think higher education is important for everybody, and if we can reach them, and if we can afford to do that, I mean, and that ought to be something that we should be able to do in those remote campuses. And there's certainly a need for a strong university system here in Fairbanks, in Anchorage, and in Southeast. Each one might have a little different mission, a little different mission statement. I don't know exactly how to balance that, but I will tell you that it has to be there, and it has to be strong, and it has to be efficient, and it has to be well recognized. You were talking about accreditation. I know Fairbanks campus just went through some accreditation and came out with flying colors, but everything should be done that way, and it should be an excellent program everywhere. And I can't imagine that I would ever sink to that point where I would say, well, Fairbanks first. That regional competition is there all the time in lots of other ways, but it shouldn't be in the quality of our education.
Thank you for your answer. And with no other one more question from Senator Begich.
Yeah, I was saving this one just because I knew that there would be other questions. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Seekins, you mentioned the political interference issue, and it's in your resume as well, the political agenda from Governor Knowles. So I got to ask you the same question. If the governor put pressure on you to follow a political agenda that might be adverse or might be contrary to the mission of the university, walk us through how you'd respond to that.
Through the chair, Senator Begich, in my career, I have had pressure put on me from many different directions at many different times. And I think probably Senator Stevens could tell you that even at the point when I was there serving with him, we had some tremendous pressures at that particular time, as you may even recall some of that yourself. And the political pressure was put on me by Governor Knowles, I said, Governor Knowles, you don't want me then, because I will not bow to a political pressure. I will try to do the right thing, and I would say the same thing. I've sat in the office with Governor Murkowski in shouting matches, and said no. You know, I could give you accounts of times when the governor and his chief of staff put pressure on me not to forward a bill that was important, and I said, that's the way it's going to be. It's already gone through that. We are not. I have been used to looking at pressure. The only person I bow to on pressure is my wife, quite frankly, and she's probably smarter than I am, so it's probably better that I do that. But I am kind of a hard person to pressure into doing something that I don't think is right. And if it came down to the fact that this governor, who wanted me to do something political that wasn't for the benefit of the program, I'll tell you right out front, I wouldn't do it. And I think you can ask some of the people I served with if they think I would. I have not done that in the past. I sleep well at night by doing it that way. I understand politics, but I also understand honor and doing the right thing.
Appreciate the answer. Thank you, Senator.
With no other questions before the committee, I'll just say, Senator Seekins, I didn't mean to show any disrespect. I didn't know quite what to call you because I believe dog musher is another title that you keep for the rest of your life. I want to commend you for completing the 1989 Yukon Quest dog sled race. And I want to commend all of the appointees today for all their accomplishments we've seen in their resumes, their application packages. I will open the meeting up to public testimony. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, is there anyone online wishing to testify? And seeing none, I will close the meeting to public testimony. Mr. Vice Chair, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move the following named appointees be forwarded to a joint session of the legislature for consideration. Lim Wheelies, Adam Reed, Jamie Burgess, Dale Anderson, and Ralph Seekins.
Is there an objection? Hearing no objection, the motion passes. For the record, this action does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of these individuals during the joint session. A brief at ease to sign the paperwork. All right, we're back on the record. Greatly appreciate the time and preparation our guests have taken to be with the committee this week and for their willingness to serve the state. Our next meeting will be on Friday, February 26th at 9 a.m. in joint session with the House Education Committee. Please note that we will be meeting in room 106. Is there any other business before the committee? Hearing none, we are adjourned at 10:25.